You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello, Notre Dame fans. Welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 458, and we've got more spring practice to talk about. Updates from the press conferences that happened since we recorded last, including one from Brian Kelly and some assistant coaches as well. And we've also ready to announce the winner of the shirt giveaway. So Michael1291 is the winner, and so he gets a free shirt. And Michael, you can send us a direct message on Twitter or on Facebook and just take a screenshot of the account page of your ESPN account. That way we can verify that you are, in fact, the winner. And the second chance tournament, I was the winner of that. So sorry, no free shirt for that.
I see. Man, you're playing hardball.
Well, hey. Yeah, I'm sorry. You got to beat us.
I see. How many points I'm looking at? I'm trying to find it right now.
For the second chance?
Yeah.
I had 1,080 and the runner-up had 920.
Okay.
It was a sizable victory. I was 99% correct in my picks.
Wow.
All right.
Were you that accurate in your first...
No,
entry.
I was about 54% accurate in my first one.
Yeah, so 55. I guess the second chance worked out well for you.
It did.
So, I will just get this out of the way. Now, the Masters were obviously this weekend, golf. Patrick Reed won. Did you know that he's a big Notre Dame fan?
I don't even know who Patrick Reed is, and if he's a golfer, then I don't care.
Unreal, Ruben. We need to work on that. But... Patrick Reed was actually at a Notre Dame game this last year. He's a big Notre Dame fan, and from the pictures that were surfacing, I was there for the Georgia game because all the fans were wearing red. So, but interesting thing is, he actually played golf at Georgia for a year, but he got kicked off the team. And there's a lot of rumors, never confirmed, but supposedly there's he was accused of stealing things from other players and cheating as well. So he was kicked off the Georgia team and ended up playing at Augusta. Which
that
is
must
down
be
there
the height of scandal in golf, I'm assuming.
I don't know. I don't
probably
follow college
probably
golf.
Because most people don't care about golfing.
Not college golf is different than, but. Anyways, I just thought he is a big Notre Dame fan. Brian Kelly and a bunch of people were tweeting it out. All of a sudden, everybody from Notre Dame is friends with him. So I don't know how good the relationship is there. But he was at a game on the sidelines for the Georgia game. And maybe he'll be back for another one.
All right. Like I mentioned, we do have press conferences to talk about. That is about spring practice. But in other news, Troy Nicholas signed with the Patriots, a one-year contract. And he'll probably... You know, he'll probably be pretty effective. I imagine he'll have decent numbers this upcoming season. Do you have any more thoughts on that?
I mentioned on the forums how I hate seeing a Notre Dame player in a Patriots uniform, but it is good for him. I do have to agree with that because the Patriots just always have success. It's kind of like wearing an Alabama uniform in college right now. But it should work out well for him. If he can get the backup spot behind Gronkowski usually injured half the year. I mean, it only takes a year if he puts up decent numbers. It seems that's what I most hate about the Patriots. These guys put in big numbers, get huge contracts, and then do nothing, especially the backup quarterbacks, because they have a system there. Anyways, I'd say that that's a good opportunity for him.
And you can see they have that system, but they still haven't won a championship without Brady when they had a backup. They made the playoffs and had a decent record, but they still didn't win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but wasn't it that year where they were they've had other quarterbacks come in and they have success. They still win their games. Doesn't matter who they put in. Yeah, during the playoffs or Super Bowl, they didn't have a backup quarterback. You know, winning the Super Bowl for them. But I'm saying it doesn't work like that for other teams most of the time. That's not normal. But
that just goes
look at the Colts. They took Peyton Manning out, which we're getting to that whole argument, which I don't want to. But they took Peyton Manning out, and they lost basically all their games the next year. You take out Tom Brady, and they still win.
Yeah, because of the genius of Belichick.
Yeah, I agree. It says they have a whole system. They have a good thing going there. They're right now, one of the mock drafts also has McClinchy going to the Patriots because they traded some picks and have more first-round picks, so there's a chance that McClinchy could end up there. So,
all right. Was there any other NFL news that you'd wanted to cover?
I could mention it with the NFL news. Brian Kelly had mentioned that Justin Yoon is at a kicking camp, and he was like, no, he didn't get traded. He was like, he didn't get traded, or they didn't get any draft picks for him. He's just out at a some national kicking camp, and Brian Kelly couldn't even remember the name of it, but they've had it scheduled since January. But then he did say, well, they got Nelson back for him, kind of jokingly. So you can tell that Nelson is – Brian Kelly knows that's a huge loss. Every time he's asked about it, he's made a couple comments about having Nelson back. Like when he shows up, you know, he asks him if he's coming back. I haven't really heard him say that about other players, but Brian Kelly would love to have Quentin Nelson back, as well as all of us fans. So,
all right.
NFL, Jalen Smith is going to be at Notre Dame for the unveiling of the shirt on April 20th. And so he's part of their... which is usually, I believe, the Friday night before the spring game.
Spring game is...
which isn't the spring game on
2 weeks away. Week and a half away. What?
Isn't the spring game on the 20th?
21st.
Okay, the 20th. So, yeah, it's Friday the 20th. So if you're planning to come to the spring game, if you're traveling, you might as well come out Friday night. You might get a chance to meet Jalen Smith. So, and once again, I'll tell you, be at the spring game.
I will never let you live this down, Randall, if something comes up that keeps you from going to the spring game.
Oh, okay.
All righty. Let's go through the different position groups, and let's start with the quarterback. Ian Book, I mean, from what reporters were saying who were at practice, sounds like he had a good day, consistent day, but he's not taking over Brandon Wimbush.
Well, Brian Kelly mentioned, you know, earlier last week he had mentioned that Book was kind of up and down in the morning practices, but he said that since then, or last week's practices, he's been way more consistent, and maybe his comments at the press conference the week prior had kind of woke him up a little bit, or I don't know if Book heard that and kind of decided, hey, this is a challenge for him, see if he can do better. Yeah, when Brian Kelly was asked if there's kind of a separation between them, he said he's not worried about who's the starter right now. They're just working on consistency, just both of them being consistent. And he mentioned a couple plays where there was a guy wide open and they didn't see him, just different things, and they're working on that. They're not trying to figure out who the starting quarterback is.
Well, then they both need to improve. Whoever is the starter needs to improve. Whoever is the backup needs to improve.
This is my interpretation. Yeah, they don't need to figure out who the starter is because they all know Wimbush is starting.
Yeah.
So.
Any more about the quarterback situation?
No, not really.
All right, well, let's talk about wide receivers. Brian Kelly did say that Chase Claypool is going to be the X receiver.
Well, that's where he wants him. He didn't say he is the X receiver.
Well, how else would you interpret it, though? I mean,
because he also talked, that's where he wants him to play, but there was still talk about, I didn't take it as that he's the X receiver, because they keep talking about Chase having to
be more consistent.
Be more consistent.
Well, okay. Yeah, I'll give you that.
So, I mean, that's where they want him to play.
Well, that's where he will play, but yeah. Maybe...
he's got to win that job.
He is going to win it. I mean, yes, hopefully he'll get more consistent and put more effort into it.
I agree. I mean, I think he's going to win. I just don't think Brian Kelly is saying that he is the X. But
it's up to him. I mean, Will Fuller took every snap that, unless he was gassed, I mean, he was out there at the X.
Which they mention again how, oh, Chase is still, you know, learning different things. Well, we talked about it last week, how he's been in the system for 3 years. So it's up to Chase to figure out and step up and be an impact guy. It's up to Chase, basically.
Yeah.
But, yeah, not a whole lot has changed. Well, Chase Claypool was back in full practice. He'd been wearing a red jersey, been limited a little bit. But Chase and then also Brock Wright are back, are full go and will be full contact for the spring game.
And
talking about the tight ends, Brock, I guess he did. Brian Kelly mentioned right away that he lost the ball, but it wasn't like he dropped it. I think it basically got ripped out of his hands. But Brian Kelly was, as soon as they started talking about Brock Wright, he was like, he's got to keep hold of the ball and keep control of it. So that obviously didn't sit well with Brian Kelly. But that's something Brock Wright's got to work on. And Alize Mack continues to look good. But last year in spring camp, he was projected to the NFL. So, I mean, yeah. At the end of the season. So, anyways.
All right, staying on the offensive side of the ball. Running backs, I mean, Brian Kelly said that it's Dexter Williams. They need to get him to a place where he's a three-down back.
Yeah. He didn't really mention anything about the running backs. I'm even sure the running backs came up in this week's press conference. So I guess you could say that's a good thing, because if there's a concern, then there would be more talk there, which they've kind of discussed that, so.
All right, do we cover offensive line? I guess this is kind of more of the same, but Sam Mustipha.
Well, Sam Mustipha and Alex Bars are the guys, which we all have known that. But the other position, you know, they keep moving guys around. Joshua Lugg is kind of a guy that Brian Kelly has been mentioning this last week as a guy that stepped up playing. Trevor Rulon, I guess, maybe part of the reason that he got more playing time at guard was because Trevor Rulon has been out with a pec injury. And I guess he had a pec injury last year as well, but this is the other side. So that's kind of slowed him down a little bit. So that's given Josh Lugg an opportunity, and it seems like he's taking advantage of his chance because now he's – Brian Kelly's talking about him, and he's in the mix. So –
All right, and then let's move over to defense. Defensive line, Jay Hayes has decided to move on. He's going to graduate and play his fifth year somewhere else. I am surprised because during last season, and maybe even the season before that, but definitely last season, it seemed like Jay Hayes finally found his place, and it seemed like he was excited to be part of the program. And I'm kind of surprised to see him, you know, decide to move on.
Yeah, I think it was a shock to me because I would have thought he would have transferred before last season. Like, it seemed, not last season, the season before, he was unhappy. You know, he had redshirted. There was things he said on social media, different things, and everybody just thought he was unhappy and was going to transfer as soon as he got a chance. Well, then he didn't. He stuck it out. And he got to start last year. So I would have thought that kind of, you know, he finally decided, you know, this is where he's supposed to be. If he went through all that and decided to stay, that's why I was kind of surprised that he stayed. But Brian Kelly says that Khalid Kareem passed him up before this. But that's hard to tell. But my theory is that Jay Hayes kind of knew that he was getting passed up with that guys. There was enough competition that it wasn't a guarantee that he was going to be the full-time starter next year. And
I think definitely Khalid Kareem was going to take more snaps this season. And Brian Kelly talked about going from a 20-play guy to a 60-play guy.
Yeah, and he mentioned with Jay Hayes, he said they have a standard at Notre Dame and basically said, you know, Jay Hayes had to decide, and then when he was kind of pressing that, he said, you got to ask Jay Hayes. So who knows what that standard is, but clearly it seems that Jay Hayes wasn't doing what he needed to. It was probably those traits.
Those mystical traits.
And he decided now's the time to move on. And he is planning to graduate in the spring, and so he'll be a grad transfer. And Brian Kelly said he can go to any school he wants to, so as long as not Michigan. No, he didn't say anything, but I don't know where he
is. I'm surprised he opened it up like he did, because usually they have at least a few schools that they... I sort of assumed that he wouldn't want him to be on, play on a team that is on Notre Dame's schedule next season.
Well, but just from looking at Jay Hayes' career at Notre Dame, I kind of think that Jay Hayes wasn't he definitely wasn't Brian Kelly's pet. Just because of the controversy, there were issues before about him playing or not playing, and you know, he had played at the end of his freshman year, and then he had redshirted the following year. So I think he was upset about that because he had played and then
Was that Jay Hayes?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so there's always been a little bit of friction there, I think. And I don't like seeing it because it's depth. I mean, he was a starter last year.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like he was the star of the defense, but he would provide if even Kareem was starting, we need the depth there.
Yeah. Yep.
Experience depth. I don't care who it is, that always helps with the experience. And even if they're a five-star coming in, they still don't have the experience. And so Notre Dame's losing quite a bit there. But it sounds like Ade Ogundiji has been stepping up. And he looked good last year. I mean, I remember seeing him a couple times, and he had flashes of what he could do. His thing, even when he came in as a freshman, I remember him being talked about as a project. Physically, he was fine, but it was the football part of it. And Brian Kelly talked about that on Saturday, that you know they got to keep working on his the mental part of it, just football, the football part of the game, and. So now it looks like you'll have Kareem and Ade are the guys to kind of take over that spot. And we talked a little bit on the forums, you know, maybe with the size of Dalen Hayes, if they bring in Okora, you know, they could move Hayes over to the strong side and have Okora on the weak side. But we'll have to see. Brian Kelly said, Kareem's got a knack for the football and pass rushing, or a knack of pass rushing. So that's good to hear, because we also kind of heard that about Dalen Hayes last year, and he kind of faded out at the end of the year. But he's talked about that since, how it's, you know, there was just so much going on. He was just trying to stay afloat and understand everything. So I think the pass rush could be even better this year.
And then at linebacker, Brian Kelly was asked how Drew Tranquil is picking up his new position, playing at the Buck, and he said he makes it look easy or something like that.
Yeah.
So sounds like he's not going to be slowing down.
And DJ Morgan has been playing Buck as well, and he's been looking good. Seems to be doing okay. At that, I don't know if he's the backup yet or not, the second string, but he's picking it up and doing well. And it seems like even for Rover, that Bilal is the guy, and you got Isaiah Robertson there too. Originally, we heard about some of the younger guys taking over, but we haven't heard that lately. So the veterans have stepped up their game, and now there's even talk of we talked about last week about Nick Coleman. Let's say Rover, but in the nickel package, I guess. I was thinking Rover, but the nickel.
And I guess let's talk about safeties and cornerbacks. Terry Joseph, I really liked listening to what he had to say in his press conference. He talked about, you know, learning on every rep and not just, he kind of made the analogy of going to the driving range. And every swing or every hit, you know, going from 50 yards to 60 yards, or improving every time. And that's the way he likes to coach, getting better every time, teaching something every time.
I liked how he talked about catching the ball, or basically interceptions, but the drills they do to work on that. And he said zone coverage is when you have a chance to intercept the ball. And he said he's made the guys hold something in one hand, or even catch the ball with a towel, but they might have, he even mentioned, a tennis ball in one hand, and sometimes he even goes as far as putting a number on the tennis ball, and they have to tell him what the number is and then catch the ball, catch the football. Or they've had a tennis ball in one hand and a towel in the other, and they have to catch the ball. So just different things like that, so that when they have both hands, it'll seem like a piece of cake to catch a football.
Is there any doubt that these safeties will not go without an interception this upcoming season? I mean, I'm not saying they'll have seven interceptions, but I think they'll have multiple interceptions this year.
It's almost harder to go with no interceptions than three. I mean, it just safeties need to get interceptions, and that's obviously a big thing they're working on. I agree. I like listening to his interview, and I think he's a good coach. And
when he was asked who stood out, who has a really good grasp of the defense, he mentioned Jalen Elliott and Gilman. And he said that it's probably because those guys have played the most snaps. Now, Studstill has also played quite a few snaps, not as many last year, but...
Stud. We need to call them. They obviously around the football program, they call him Stud, so...
But do you think... Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but do you think him mentioning Jalen Elliott and Gilman and with Nick Coleman moving to cornerback or moving to that nickel or competing at the nickel, do you think Nick Coleman is definitely out? I mean, is he out of chances of being a starter? You think are pretty slim?
To me, it sounds like he's going to be more the nickel guy. I could see him being the nickel guy and basically his full-time job.
Yeah.
With Elliott and Gilman, they're the most comfortable, which he said they've obviously probably played the most snaps as well. But all these guys, I mean, he's opened this up to competition. He said all the guys have a chance. And Brian Kelly even mentioned that as of April 7th, 2018, there are no starting safeties at Notre Dame. So these guys all have a chance. Houston Griffin obviously moved back there. And they like what he can do. What did Brian Kelly's? Basically, they like his knack for the ball. He knows what's happening, his instincts, and then he's a good he's a good tackler as well. And that's kind of why they moved him back there. But something else I found interesting from Terry Joseph, talking about Studstill, he said with him, they're working on not having his weakness exposed. Which... it makes sense, but when he's mentioning that, when he's talking about a guy and working on his not having his weaknesses exposed, that means they obviously think that he does have some. But yeah, his way of explaining,
wasn't he pretty much saying also that every player has weaknesses?
Well, yeah, that's how he said he likes baseball. And somebody asked him one time, "How do you hit a good curveball?" And he said, "You don't swing at it." Basically, like you can't. You're not going to get good at it. You just never will because it's curveball. And so with what he was saying with Studstill, he's got to realize what his strengths and weaknesses are. And the weaknesses, he's got to be smart enough to stay away from that, like not get caught in his weakness, which I think that goes for all the players. But obviously it's something that they're working on with him. So, and I think a lot of people don't really want to see Elliott back there. Just because, he hasn't produced like he should have. But I think a lot of it was just the coaching, too. I mean, now that they have a safeties coach, Elko was trying to do that as well.
And be the coordinator.
Yeah.
So
now that they have a dedicated coach for their position, I think it'll help a lot. And, it seems more exciting to have somebody else or a new name back there, but at saying that, he's got a lot of experience. You come back to the experience part. He's got a lot of experience, and if they can work on some of these flaws, I think he can still be a good safety.
Were you surprised by Brian Kelly's answer when he was asked about what the next step is for Julian Love, about him being a more consistent player? And he talked about after a big play, and when he'd go back out, he had the tendency to not pay as close attention to detail.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised at that. But
And it sounds like you're kind of just like trying to pick things.
Well, with him, I think you are. Because they're adding things to his... They're adding things to his...
repertoire.
There you go. That they haven't been able to with other cornerbacks at Notre Dame. They are adding extra things this year for Julian Love that they haven't done with other cornerbacks because they haven't had cornerbacks that could do the things he can do. So, but one more thing with the safety with Gilman, Brian Kelly kind of mentioned that he's had a slow start to the spring just because last year he was on the scout team and he was learning everybody else's defense for the scout team. And so coming into the spring, he was still learning Notre Dame's defense. And so it kind of slowed down, it slowed him down a little bit trying to learn all of that. But he's a good player, and I seriously think he's going to be a starter when they play Michigan.
I didn't think so, but I'm definitely, I think things are trending that way.
Yeah, but they have no starting safety right now, so. But they want to get it down to those two guys. I mean, two guys. Terry Joseph talked about that. They want to get it narrowed down.
Was it Terry Joseph that talked about how he's not a believer in the red shirt? How if there's a guy good enough to play, that just go ahead and play him. How he doesn't think the red shirt. And he said there are exceptions.
Todd Light said that.
I can remember if it was,
yeah. Which I agree with him on most positions.
Yeah, the only one that I would disagree
is quarterback.
Is offensive line.
Oh, and yeah, offensive line.
I don't agree. At quarterback, I'd be shocked if you'd be good enough to be a starter if there's, you know, a 2 or 3 year guy in the program. I think it's very, very unlikely you're going to be a starter, but I think it's reasonable to get some playing time.
Yeah. Well, I think with the quarterback, it's more about if you have to start a true freshman at quarterback, you're in a pretty bad situation.
You're saying starting, and I'm not saying I would never want to start a true freshman.
But just, I think it's good for them to redshirt. They can learn the offense. They don't get thrown out there.
And I don't think it matters.
Yeah. Well. But yeah, I was surprised to hear Todd Light kind of say that. It seems like they usually want. Well, they never really say, I guess. But if a guy can get in a program, you know, it's nice that they have a year to bulk up, get to in the physical shape that they want, college shape versus high school. But yeah.
All right. I think that's everything. Anything else that I missed?
Todd Light talked a little bit about the cornerbacks, and then Clark Lee, I guess they kind of have this competition on defense, and basically every week they have like the top 10% on defense, which I'm not sure how many guys the 10% would be, but they kind of award them with something. And in the cornerback position, he mentioned that Watkins was in that top 10% one week, so he awarded him by giving the start at the boundary side. But he also mentioned the guys in the top 10% at one week was Crawford and then Pride as well. I'm not really surprised with Crawford, but with Pride, I mean, Pride's a good player, but I didn't necessarily expect him to be in the top 10% of the defense, yeah. You know. But he's obviously doing very well. He said with Crawford, he's back at 100%. He's got to hold him back a little bit because they tell him to get on the sideline, and he's trying to get out there right away again when they kind of got to say, hey, this is better for you, like take a little bit of a break or whatever. But I like to see that versus the other way. So, yeah, basically the cornerbacks come down to how he has it split up. Love and Watkins on the boundary side, and then Pride and Crawford and Vaughn would be on the field side. So that's kind of how he has it split up. So the freshmen, he kind of has an idea. He mentioned not the freshmen, but they're going to see what they can do before they kind of position them. But, yeah. Otherwise, I think that's about it.
All right. Thank you, guys.
We should mention this, the new practice facility.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Notre Dame, they announced that they're basically putting up a building over the practice field they have, but it's 111,000 square feet, I believe. And It's supposed to be attached to the new addition to the Goog, which they haven't necessarily confirmed yet, but the Goog is going to be an addition. So I don't know what all this is, but they will have a new indoor practice field. They'll be sharing it with the soccer team. But Brian Kelly, this was mentioned, then Brian Kelly also mentioned it in his press conference. He likes it because he mentioned they don't have to get up early for these practices, because now they're getting up at 5:45 to get into the Loftus, and he says it's not good. They'll be able to practice in the afternoon with this new indoor facility, because now they have to get in at 5:45 because later in the day it's booked for other events. So I think that's huge. Just that alone is huge, because it's hard for those guys. Those guys are up in the middle of the night doing schoolwork, and if they're getting up at 5:40 or being there at 5:45 for workouts already,
yeah,
this will make it a lot easier for them, and it'll just help Notre Dame even more.
I do think it matters, because last year we heard about fatigue setting in towards the end of the year, and getting a little...
For me, getting up there, that's fatigue.
getting you know, better quality sleep and rest, I mean, that's got to pay off at least a little bit.
Yeah, totally.
All right, is that it?
I think so.
Thank you guys for listening. Check out the forums, forums.irishsportstalk.net. We are on Twitter, @IrishSportsTalk. And until next time, go Irish.
Be it the spring game. Go Irish.